Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. What is the greatest thing that you can share with someone? What is the greatest gift that you can give? We're going to answer those questions on today's episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Good morning. This is your wake up call. It's wake up call 114, how to share the gospel. That's right. 114, how to share the gospel. I'm your host, AJ. And as I mentioned, this is the Faith for My Generation podcast. I'm thankful for you watching and listening. And I do ask a favor of you. If you would, share this broadcast, share this stream, or not stream, I stream on Thursdays, but this episode, share this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast, whether it's by social media, Instagram story, or simply texting the link to somebody. If you would, just share this with someone, because my desire and my goal with this particular episode, but really with the whole podcast channel and what I do social media-wise, I guess you might say, is to encourage and to build up believers to take ownership of what God has given all of us and go out and win people for Christ. Obviously, we are always reaching people, and many people are won through Christ through this outreach that we use in this Faith for My Generation ministry. And then, of course, the streams we do on Gospel Tabernacle every Thursday at 11. Come join us if you're able to, or just, you know, flip on the phone while you're at work and listen along. But we win people to Christ all the time that way. But also, I realize the harvest truly is plentiful. And there's so many people that have what you and I have, they need what you and I have. They're looking and searching for truth, and we've got it. They're looking and searching for a solution to their problems, and the solution, His name is Jesus, and we can connect Jesus to people and people to Jesus. And so I realize that looking at the harvest field, it's ready to be harvested, and all the Lord has always needed is faithful laborers. So I realize if we can increase the amount of laborers, we can win more and more people to Christ and make them into strong followers of Jesus, into great disciples for the Lord. And if as we multiply ourselves, we can do the task much more efficiently and effectively. So specifically in today's wake up call today, I'm going to go through some points for you to understand how to share the gospel and how to do it effectively. So the first thing I want you to see is the commission. This is the mission you and I have been given. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So that is what we call the Great Commission. Now, just to break down that word a little bit, commission. Well, we could break it up like this: co-mission, co being more than one person, and then mission is the task at hand or the objective that you're trying to accomplish. That is the co-mission that we have been given. The Great Commission is the co-mission. It is something you and I are laboring together with the Lord. You might think, wow, laboring with God, like working with God? I don't know about AJ. Are you sure? Well, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says this: "We are God's fellow workers. You're God's field, you're God's building." Now, that's the Apostle Paul speaking to the people in Corinth, but he's referring to himself, he's referring to Apollos, he's referring to all believers that actively engage in ministering to other believers and other people to bring them in to the family of God through the means of evangelism, of witnessing, of soul winning. And so you and I, we have a mission. We have a co-mission. We are co-laborers with God. Now, why do we have this mission? What is the reason or the purpose behind the mission? You know, it's one thing to know what to do. It's another reason to know why to do it. And you know, oftentimes, for me specifically, I need to know why I'm doing something, because that kind of helps me frame in my mind. It helps me gather up understanding, you know, this is the objective, but what's the reason behind the objective? And I can kind of get my mind and my heart wrapped around what I'm doing more effectively and efficiently. So why? What is the reason behind this mission? Well, let me take you to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. This is a wonderful passage to commit to your heart and to memory. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So what does God desire? What is good and acceptable to God, notice, our Savior? Well, we can see through Scripture that God's our Redeemer, that God is our strength, that God is Creator. He is Lord. He is Master. That He is Provider. He is Healer. He is Sustainer. He is the one who sanctifies us. He is our righteousness. But in this particular passage, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul, when writing this letter to Timothy, to write God our Savior. Because God is our Savior. He is our salvation. And what is good and acceptable in His sight? What does He desire? That all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God really wants everyone to be saved. Now, this begs the question, well, if God wants it and wills it, does that mean everyone's going to eventually be saved at some point? That is a demonic deception in the earth called universalism. No, not every single person will accept the free gift of salvation. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I've had the experience a few times when I wanted to give something to someone, but for whatever reason, they wouldn't accept it. You know, maybe you're trying to buy a meal for someone or pay for the dinner. No, your money's no good here. You know, not all the time, it's negative. But maybe you've had that happen. So I extended a gift, but it wasn't received. Now, that may mess up with your theology, but I would encourage you to align your theology with Scripture. Amen. Mine as well. Anytime our doctrine or our theology conflicts with Scripture, let us crucify our theology and surrender to the truth of Scripture. Come on, somebody, say amen. Let's believe the Bible. Let the Bible speak for itself. And any theology or doctrine that has been conformed or even misconstrued by men, by voices of man, let them fall away. And let's get to the heart of the truth of God's Word. And let's just take it at its face value. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm going to read that one more time. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering. He's patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we see it both there, both times, both passages. God wants everyone to be saved. I mean, think about it. If you expended a great amount of wealth on, say, a party, block party, and you wanted to have the whole community come, would you not, if you've invested all this time, effort, and energy, would you not want as many people possible to come? Well, of course you would. You don't want seven people to show up to this thing that you were hoping thousands would come to. And it's no different for the Lord. He has already expended the greatest expenditure ever, the life and blood of Christ Jesus. Why would He not want all to make use of that, to receive that free gift? The gift has already been given. Why would we not want to co-labor with the Lord that all would receive this free gift? Now, I gave you the mission. I gave you the reason behind the mission. then I'm going to give you, the third thing I want to give you is this, the means, or how does God accomplish this? We see that God has given us a mission, which is to go into all the earth. And keep in mind, going into all the earth begins with where you're at right now. Amen. When you read Matthew 28, 19 and 20, don't think, well, I guess I need to sell everything and go to China. Look, if you're in my nation, I realize we've got folks from all over the world that watch and listen. But if you're in my nation of the U.S., there's more Christians in China than they are in the U.S. So it would actually be really good for you to start evangelizing and making disciples right here. We need them. Somebody say amen. The United States of America needs more disciples, needs more real Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, faith-filled, surrendered, I surrender all, the cross before me, the world behind me, Christians. Amen. That's what the U.S. needs. Not less, more of it. You know, people, this silly moniker they're trying to say, Christian nationalism, you know, and they try to connect all this hate and everything to it. It's absurd. The greatest thing that can happen to the United States of America is a mass, nationwide, Spirit-empowered holiness revival that touches the hearts of people and stirs people up to repentance. That is the only solution for the problems of this nation. Now, how will the Lord bring about what He desires? You might say, well, He's God. He'll just zap it. He'll just do it. He'll just snap His fingers and it'll happen. Well, the Lord, in all His power, in all His wisdom, in all His authority, He Himself has said, this is what I desire, the mission. This is the reason behind the mission. And I, God, will use my people to bring it about. You and I are the means by which people come to a saving knowledge in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing or reckoning their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, catch it. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verses 18, 19, and 20 of 2 Corinthians 5 sits in between verse 17, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. In verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Two wonderful promises for the believer. And right in between those two wonderful identity promises, who we are in Christ, a new creation and the righteousness of God, is this. You and I have been given a ministry and we've been given a word. We are ambassadors. We speak to people as if it were God Himself speaking to them, and He does it through us. What a privilege. Now notice, it didn't say in verse 20, now then, your pastor is an ambassador. Now then, your favorite Christian podcast host is an ambassador. Now then, your favorite YouTube evangelist is an ambassador for Christ. No, it says you and I, we all are. If you're a Christian, you are an ambassador of Christ Jesus. You are an ambassador for Christ. If you are a believer, you have been called to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth right now, so that it would be as if God Himself were speaking to these people that you encounter, but He does it through you because you've been given a ministry and a word of reconciliation. Real quickly, what does reconciliation mean? Reconciliation means to bring into balance. In an accounting terms, you can reconcile a bank account or a bank statement or a checking book. And it means to make sure that everything lines up and zeros out. It equals what the bank says, what you say, your records both match. And the beginning ending balances and all the transactions in between are equal. They match, rather. Well, in the same sense, the Lord Jesus by his sacrificial death and our faith in him, and then his life making us alive, we've been brought into right standing with the Lord. Reconciled also means to bring something back to its original place, to its original function, and to its original design and makeup. You and I have been brought back to that place as if it were sin had never entered into our life. We've been brought back to God. And that's the ministry, that's the word that you and I carry. And we take it to other people. Jesus said, Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead, freely give as you have freely received. The debt you and I owe is to give to others what we have received from God. You might think, wow, I just wish I could pay back the Lord for what he's done for me. Can you ever pay back God? No, you can't pay back God. But you can work on the debt. You can have a heart of thankfulness and gratitude and show the Lord, I realize, Lord, I could never repay you, but I want to make good. There's a passage in Scripture, and I can't remember off the top of my mind. Bear with me here. We'll do a live search real quick. Received not the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Oh, nice. We then, as workers together with him, who plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. How could you receive the grace of God in vain? Or how could you receive the grace of God in such a way that it was like, you know, worthless, that the fact that you received it? And I did a podcast episode on that. 1 Corinthians 15:10 is actually the particular verse I was thinking about that I did a podcast episode, and it's been a while. But Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. And then he reiterates that fact in what we just read, 2 Corinthians 6:1. But it's this very simple concept that Paul's saying. Look, I wasn't in 1 Corinthians 15. This whole chapter is talking about resurrection. And Paul is saying, look, Jesus Christ, he's resurrected from the dead. He was seen by 500 when he was ascended to heaven. He was seen by all the apostles. And he was seen by me on the road to Damascus. And Paul says, I am one as if born out of time. And the least of these. And he makes that point in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of the apostles, whom not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And then he says, but I received the grace of God, and I did not receive it in vain. In other words, Paul is saying this, I received God's grace, and I refused to allow the thing that God had given me and brought into my life, his grace and his salvation, to become a worthless endeavor on God's behalf. Wow, think about that. And I know that's your desire. That's why you're listening. That's why you're watching right now. It's my desire as well. I want what the Lord has deposited in me to bring great reward and return to God. That's what Matthew 25 is all about, right? When this master leaves with 3 servants, 5, 2, and 1 talents, and he goes away for a long time and he comes back and he's looking for a return on what he left with them, the man with 5 doubled to 10, the man with 2 doubled to 4, the man with 1 buried it and made nothing, and he was the lazy and wicked servant that had to be cast out of the master's presence. But the one with 2 and the one with 5 took what they were given and they doubled it. They made it produce. They made it work for the benefit not of themselves alone, but for their master. And their master was very pleased. And he said the same to both, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. Now you will be faithful over much. Now think about that. It is no different for you and I. We've been given this great, great gospel message. There is a mission that we have been given to co-labor with God. We understand the reason behind it. It is the heart of God. We understand the means by which God will accomplish his desire. It's through you and I, the church. He's also given us tools. Here's a couple tools that I believe is certainly not a complete list, but I believe it's a very good list to begin with. What are some tools that you need in order to share the gospel effectively? How will you share the gospel effectively? Well, first you're going to have the love of God in your heart. Think about it. Love is what motivated God to bring about salvation in the earth anyway. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 13:13 tells us, for faith, hope, and love, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And it's talking about the love of God, agape, the God kind of love, a selfless, benevolent, serving others, not self-serving, but serving others, not seeking for oneself, but seeking for the benefit of others. That's the kind of love that we have to have. And without that love working in our hearts, we are not going to go out of our way to reach the lost. Romans 5, verse 5 says this, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So this love that you and I must have, it's a tool necessary to effectively share the gospel. It's already in our hearts. We just need to lean into it, surrender to it, be motivated by it. Because you really have to be able to, in order to effectively share the gospel, you got to be able to love people the way God loves them. You got to see people the way God sees them. If you don't have the love of God, you will sell people short. You will judge people on outward appearance and you'll never even talk to someone. Yet, God loves that person that you've written off, hypothetically speaking. I don't believe you're going to write anybody off. You're part of the faithful. You're going to write people in, not out. Amen. But let's just say hypothetically, you wrote someone off just by their outward appearance or something they said or their actions, or maybe where they live. They live in the rough part of town, whatever. Silly things that people use. You write them off. But you have to stop and remind yourself, God loves that person I just wrote off equal to how much he loves me. He doesn't love me more than he loves that person. He doesn't love that person more or less than me, or me more or less than them. He loves each of us equally. So why won't I go share with that person what I freely received? Why can't I freely give to them what I freely received? And when you're motivated by the love of God, you'll do exactly that. There'll be no place you won't go. There'll be no person you won't reach out to. A second tool that I believe you have in order to effectively share the gospel, to share the good news of Christ, you got to have the truth. You got to have faith. You must have faith in the message of the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 says this, but what does it say? The word is near you. Now this is quoting Deuteronomy. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You got to have faith in the message of the gospel. You keep reading in this chapter, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You actually have to believe in the message of the gospel, in the good news of Jesus, because if you don't really believe it, you won't share it. If it's just religious protocol, if it's just a game, which I don't believe it is for you, the faithful, but if it is just a religious game, if it's just a function, if it's just a Sunday morning routine, and when it's convenient, pop on the Faith for My Generation podcast, and oh, wasn't that a nice little episode? If it's just that, well, then you're not going to be able to effectively share the gospel. But if you get the word of God concerning God's desire to see people saved, the ability that God has made you and I able, competent ministers, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 tells us by the Spirit we've been made competent, able, and qualified ministers of the gospel. So if we've been made able and competent, we've been empowered by the Holy Ghost, Acts 1:8, to be witnesses of Christ. If we're filled in studying the Word of God so that we can actually distribute the truth of God's Word, then I have a living faith, and it's that living faith that has an action corresponding to it, right? James 2, faith without works is dead. So if your faith is, if there's no action to what you say you believe, it's dead faith, and anything dead has never produced fruit. But if you have living faith, there's a corresponding action. And if I really get so caught up and consumed in God's truth concerning soul winning, witnessing, winning people to Christ, one-on-one personal ministry, or I believe in Jesus' name, and this is my heart's desire, that there's people listening right now to this episode, watching this video right now, and you have a desire to do outreaches, to do crusades, and not just do one-on-one ministry, which is good and we all should do, but for there's something the Lord's put on your heart where you want to be able to go do an event and set something up where there's real gospel preaching and dozens, hundreds, oh, let's get big faith, thousands, tens of thousands of people get saved. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be the first to encourage you. You can do it. You've got what it takes. The Holy Spirit has put that burden in your heart. Run with it. Go do it. And then whatever the devil hates for you to do, go do it twice. Amen. He's going to try and stop you. He can't stop you. If you don't quit, he has to. We have the victory over him. He may put up a little bit of a fight. He'll end up with running away with his tail in between his legs, whimpering and crying as you kick his blessed assurance. No, he don't have a blessed assurance. Kick his sorry behind down the road. And then do it again and again and again. Amen. Amen. Because you got to have faith in this. But when you get faith in it, woo, you'll become unstoppable. All right, next two I believe you have to have. And I actually gave you a hint when I almost said it. But the third two I believe you have to have is truth. You got to have the truth of God. It is God's word. It's the truth of God's word that sets people free. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall," excuse me, "make you free." You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is the truth of God's word that sets people free. It's the truth of God's word that sets people free. And so you have to arm yourself with the truth of God's word. Not my opinions, not my thoughts, not my feelings, but God's word. And I need to deliver the word of God in an understandable way to people, because that is what the Holy Spirit uses to leverage in their heart, to convict, to bring to repentance. The fourth tool I believe that you must have in order to effectively share the gospel, you got to have boldness. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we see the disciples. They have just been persecuted for preaching and teaching the gospel. A lame man was healed. You would think people would rejoice, but instead they get persecuted for it. And then immediately after being arrested and then let out, Peter and John meet with all the Christians there in Jerusalem to have a prayer meeting. And this is what they pray, portion of what they pray. Verse 29 of Acts 4. "Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." The fourth tool you've got to have to effectively share the gospel is boldness. And it's not just being loudmouth or this or that. No, it's Holy Ghost empowered boldness. You speak with love, you speak with truth, but you got to speak. You have to speak. You can have faith in what you're saying, you can carry it with love, and it can be the truth. But if you're too afraid to say it, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. You got to be able to speak up and tell someone. And that's going to put you in situations where naturally you may feel a little intimidated, but the Holy Ghost, he will empower you and make you bold. Notice when they're experiencing persecution, they didn't say, "Lord, deliver us from this persecution." They did say, you know, "Lord, defend us." But they didn't say, "Lord," they said, "Look, you know, Lord, look what they're doing. But as far as us, give us boldness so that we don't back down." Paul says that in Ephesians 6, after talking about the armor of the Lord, and then encourages the church in Ephesus and anyone else, you and I, reading that passage, to pray. And then he says, "Pray for me that I may speak the mystery of the gospel with all boldness, not timid, but boldly declare it." We have to boldly declare it. Now, this is the last thing I want to give you today. I want to practically take you through several passages of scripture known as the Romans Road to Salvation. The reason it's called the Romans Road to Salvation is because every single one of these passages is in the book of Romans. You could easily, over a week or two of just memorizing, you know, reading in them, writing them down, memory verse cards, whatever you want to use, flashcards. But you should commit these passages of Scripture to heart. Even if you don't get them verbatim, at least the heart of the Scripture. Because through these five steps, you can take someone from step one to step five. And from step one, they're dead in sin, to step five, by faith, they're alive in Christ. Here we go. Step number one on the Romans road to salvation. Romans 3, verse 23. And I'll make sure to clearly pronounce each one of those references. They're also in the description, depending on where you're watching. So you could write them down, put them in a note in your phone, and have them for later. Romans 3, verse 23, step one, all have sinned. Verse 23 of Romans 3 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's step one. You, me, anyone, doesn't matter who we are. We have all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That puts every single person on the planet in the same boat. No one's better than anyone else. We have all sinned, we've all fallen short, and we're all in need of a Savior. Step number two, Romans 5, verse 8, God's love. Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So step one, we have all sinned. We're all dead in sin. Step two, God showed his love. While we were yet dead in sin, Christ died for us. This is how God demonstrated his love for us. God didn't say, once you guys clean yourself up, get out of all that sin, then I'll come love you. No, he didn't say that. He saw the world, humanity, falling into sin, and he said, I must make a way to bring them out of the destruction of sin. Step number three, what does sin bring? Death. Romans 6, verse 23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I like to say this because for my age and younger, a lot of folks don't know what the word wages mean. But wages is just an older word for paycheck or payment. So I like to say this, and this is just me paraphrasing it. Hope you don't mind that. But this is the AJ Bible version. Ready? The paycheck for the work of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you go to work, and I think that makes sense to a lot of people, you go to work, you work the whole week or 2 weeks or the month, they send you a paycheck for the work you've done. If you're engaged in the work of sin, at some point, payday's coming. And payday for the work of sin is eternal death, not natural death. Though sin brings natural death, you engage in sin long enough, it'll destroy your body and your mind. But the death that sin brings is spiritual death. It's what happened to Adam and Eve. God said, the moment you eat and disobey, you'll die. And they did, spiritually. They were disconnected from God. Now their bodies died over time, but the relationship that they had with God was completely severed because of sin. Step number four, Romans 8, verse 1. Okay, here we are. Step one, all have sinned. Step two, God loved us and made a way out of sin. Step three, if we don't get out of sin, death will be given to us, but God's given us a free gift. So what do we do? Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So here's your option. You can either live in sin and remain in sin and experience death, or you can receive the free gift of God, eternal life, because of the love of God, and you can be pulled out of sin, and now you will no longer die that spiritual death, but you'll be made alive because there's now no condemnation in Christ, meaning condemning or condemned or damned to death, to destruction, no penalty. So there's the option. You have to lay that out for people. And you make that very clear. This is what I have done. I realized that I was dead in sin, but God loved me and sent Jesus as a Savior and made way for me. If I stayed in my sin, I would die eternally. But God's given me a free gift of life. And if I receive him, I'll no longer be condemned, but rather be forgiven. And you lead them to the last step. God has made available this gift. How do you receive it? Romans 10, verse 9. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's what you bring people to. And you don't stop there. At that point, you then ask the person, wouldn't you like, don't you want to receive this free gift of salvation and be cleansed and washed clean from your sins? And I'm going to guarantee you something. 9 times out of 10, maybe even more than that. But in my experience, if I can get people through each one of those points, very conversationally, I don't even have to have my Bible with me, though oftentimes I do. But I don't even have to have my Bible with me. If I can get people through that, the Holy Spirit's working on their hearts as I'm speaking the Word of God to them. And if I can get them there, they're going to receive Christ. They're convicted. They want to be saved. They want to be cleansed. Everyone wants to be forgiven. It's just many people don't know how. They don't know the truth. They're under the weight of condemnation. That they're being lied to and deceived by the devil. They're caught up in other traps and lies and schemes of the enemy. But they want to be forgiven. They need to be led to salvation. And then once you get them there, you don't leave them there and say, sayonara, see you later. Glad you got that whole Romans Road presentation. No, pray with them. And this is the prayer I pray. And in fact, if you're watching and listening and you watched it or listened to an episode on how to share the gospel, but you yourself are not saved, maybe you stumbled across it and it caught your interest, and here you're at the end of this video and you've never believed on Christ, and you've just heard me explain the truths of God's Word, and you realize you're dead in sin, but you want to be forgiven and you want to receive life, not death, pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. He died my death for my sins. He paid my debt. He was buried in my grave. And 3 days later, I believe he rose again. By your Spirit and your power that raised him from the dead, I believe I'm made alive by faith. For I confess Jesus is Lord. I confess Jesus is my Lord. Lord, I repent. Wash me clean of my sins. Make me brand new. I'll live for you all the days of my life by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And that is the prayer of salvation that I have led, had the privilege to lead so many people to Christ with. And it changes a little bit every time, but that's the core concepts in that prayer that I pray. Believing that Jesus is the risen Son of God, confessing Him Lord, asking for repentance, and believing by faith that you're made alive in Christ. If you prayed that prayer and you have received salvation today, look in the description. There'll be a link there that if you click on the link and fill out the information, I'll send you a free gift because I want to help you become a strong disciple. Now, if you're watching and listening and you're a member of the faithful and you want to be able to put this to practice and put this to use, make sure you check in the description as well. I've referenced the links put in the references of the Romans Road. If you just simply Google search Romans Road, you can actually hit Google search and hit the image tab, and you'll find a bunch of images that you could save to your phone in case you needed it in the future. But I want to encourage you, don't be timid, don't be shy, be bold for the Lord, seek the Lord in prayer, ask Him for an equipping, powerful witness. A power by the Holy Spirit to be an effective witness for Jesus. Because we are living in the last days, and the time of this age is quickly coming to an end, and we want to see as many people saved as possible. And you and I get the privilege to be a part of others coming to Christ. Hey, I'm so thankful for you. I pray that you would stay strong in the faith and that you would share your faith with somebody this week in Jesus' name. I know you will, because you and I, we are the faithful. I'll see you next time. God richly bless you.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you, And every Thursday, I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.